Welcome to chapel. Thank you all for coming. Would you please bow your heads for an opening prayer? Dear Lord, thank you for the awesome opportunity that we had to go on this trip. And thank you that we all made it back safely for the most part. I pray that you will bless this chapel presentation as we come back surrounded by family and friends. And I pray that you will be with us all as we go back into American society. And thank you that everyone can make it here safely to watch us and take time from finals and everything, Lord. In your name, amen.
Good morning. Please open up to page 109 in the green Sing the Journey. We will be singing a couple verses throughout this chapel, but we'll be starting with There Is More Love. So please feel free to join in as you feel compelled.
So thanks again, everybody, for coming out to chapel today. Super excited to be back, see everybody. So part of the difficulties of, what's so funny, guys? Part of the difficulty of planning a chapel is that we have so many like amazing stories and experiences that we had throughout the semester, and so it's really difficult to kind of condense that and show that to you guys in a way that would make sense and that we could fit into 30 minutes. So what we did is we just had some good stories and experiences that help kind of relate to our trip and our story. And so here's just an excerpt of a few of these, starting with Egypt.
So for our first 2.5 weeks, we were in Egypt. And this was like a period of kind of like honeymooning with this new culture that we were in. And so like the first night that we got into Cairo, Linford and Janet told us, like, go, just do what you want. And then so everybody was real overconfident and like excited to go out and explore. And then they go out and then walk a couple of blocks, and before you realize it, they're like, this is the farthest thing away from like our culture or something familiar. But then the next night we try it again, and then we correct ourselves and get better. But especially in Egypt, we were constantly overconfident with ourselves and kind of like stressed out. And this next skit is to kind of represent some of that.
Whoa,
Taylor. Hello, are you from America?
Yeah,
America?
We are. Yeah.
Come look at my Galbea.
Oh, wow, Taylor.
Very nice, handmade. What? Handmade.
Galbea?
Very nice. Feel it, feel it. Come feel it, come feel it. Feel it.
That's
very
that's
nice,
really
very
cool.
Nice.
Yeah, I think I want it.
Good price, good price.
I want it. How much?
$1,200. Handmade. It's handmade.
Hey,
it's handmade. Very nice. Very nice. It's very nice. Come feel it. Come feel it. Come feel it. Come feel it.
Oh, that's cool.
Do you want to try it on?
No, it's not.
Very nice. Very nice. $1,200.
$400. We'll do $400.
Oh, no. I have 12 children.
Yeah, well.
I must make a living.
Yeah, I get.
Okay. $1,000. Just because you are from America.
All right.
Okay?
$500.
Okay? Oh, no. 800?
We can do 6. That's
oh.
That's tough. Sorry.
I'm sorry. It's handmade. It's handmade.
It's handmade.
Okay. Come back.
Okay.
600. 600.
Cool.
Yes.
Cool. Thanks. Wow, Taylor. How cool is this? So I googled how much galabeas normally cost, and they cost $3.
Why did we get that?
Well, I don't know why we got it, but it's really cool, so.
Live like an olive tree. Give, forgive, and be free.
On the first day in Beit Zahor, Palestine, Janet told some of us this quote as we were walking around looking at the olive trees. She explained that the tree is not only a symbol of peace to them, but a way of life and pride in their land. This quote describes the heart of a Palestinian. As the olive tree is central to their life, so as their identity is core to their existence.
Give. Palestinians have a heart of hospitality, which we experienced. Our families opened their homes, prepared and served more food than we could eat, and gave us their time.
Forgive. While in Beit Zahor, we heard many testimonies of encounters with Israel. Horrible checkpoints, denial of permits, and seizing of lands. But we also heard many accounts of friends in Israel, discussion and dialogue with the occupiers. Some people are beginning to forgive, and they are opening it themselves to hearing the other side.
Be free. Beit Zahor was a central part of the first resistance against Israel. In them still stirs a fighting spirit of hope. Hope for change, hope for peace, hope for future with no walls, hope for equality, and hope for freedom.
Palestinians of Beit Zahor live like their olive trees. They give from their hearts, they forgive those who oppress them, and they live with the hope of freedom.
So after we went to Beit Zahor and had that lovely time with them, we had the very unique opportunity of being able to go to Efrat and actually stay with host families in the Jewish settlement. Now, it was an Orthodox settlement, so it was a lot more conservative than you might think, and it opened our eyes to several different unique perspectives. We got to spend Shabbat with them, which is the Jewish Sabbath day. So essentially, we had no phones, no anything. We couldn't write, we couldn't draw. It was just basically a day of rest and a day of peace. And we had a lot of opportunity to talk to people. And one of the biggest things that we discovered is that each side, the Palestinians, the Israelis, both of them, they believe that their side is not told. They believe that there are walls between each other, between themselves, that just limit their ability to express who they are, that their narrative is somewhat shut out. So both sides want peace, and both sides want there to be resolution. But sometimes it looks like that just can't be possible.
Israeli checkpoints make us late for school and for work.
We need the wall to be protected.
They make it hard to travel.
The Israeli people are God's chosen people.
My son was arrested and tortured for the security of the nation of Israel.
Another bomb went off today. I'm happy we have the checkpoints to keep us safe.
They want us to fight.
Don't worry, Israel. America is behind you.
We have been here for generations, and they are stealing our land.
Our birthright was established thousands of years ago when God promised us this land.
We have the right to return to our land.
Why don't you slow down a little on the settlements?
Another outpost popped up across the green line, dividing communities, limiting mobility, and taking our land.
Judea and Samaria belong to the Israelites.
We just want our home.
Settlements are illegal under international law.
They are planning settlements to take over all our land.
Iran has nuclear missiles pointed towards Israel.
We are surrounded by our enemies.
Israel shares a lot of technological advancements with us.
It's not because they're Jewish.
It's not because they're Muslim.
Religion can help us bring peace.
Israel teaches us how to build our walls.
The government leaders still pass restrictive laws.
Hamas still bombs us.
We know the extremists don't speak for everyone.
The Jewish people suffered through the Holocaust and global persecution. They need a home.
We just want to walk down our streets in peace.
We just want to walk down a quiet street, but they just keep rioting.
I don't want to be front page news.
As a Mennonite credit union, we support the boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement in protest of the Israeli government.
They think we're all terrorists. They don't even learn who we really are.
They're taught to be terrorists in school. They learn to hate us.
Israel is a Western stepping stone in the Middle East.
Of course I would live alongside the Israelis. I have no problem with them.
We gave them so many chances. They've got to get it together.
There could be peace if only they wanted it.
boarded our ship, bags loaded, with eagerness, excitement, expectation. As we sailed with our captains, we placed anchor. Each stop, new lessons on conflict, war, and peace. On faith, love, and hate, solutions and complexities, governments and systems. Knowledge that built and broke us if we allowed it to. Each of us had a choice. We could observe from the deck or land on the beaches to struggle with elements, uncomfortable and challenging as they may be. A quiet voice accompanies, reminds us to not hold firmly, release pressure of our bags, puzzle through the mess of conflict and sail on. We no longer see the famed sights as merely wonders of the world. They contain the story of each person's journey on this trip. Memories and lessons in each brick and stone, massive symbols of each culture we immerse ourselves in. We hold fast to the columns, the same columns that Paul passed by, the same columns that held up great empires. Our minds are a mess right now, making sense of what we have learned, wrestling with the ancient and the modern, and the presence of God evident in all stops along the way. EMU community, friends and family, show us patience and love as we bid farewell to our vessel, our captains, our crew, and the adventures we shared. This journey is complete, but we will set sail again.
All right, so one of the most influential parts of our trip was the Jesus Trail. It was a 4-day long hike from Nazareth Village to the Sea of Galilee, and we all learned a lot. It meant so much to all of us, and I'm going to share my personal thoughts and reflections on the trip. So, leading up to the Jesus Trail, I started to question my belief in God. We had been learning about the Bible for the entirety of the trip, and that caused a lot of speculation for me. What was real, what wasn't, who existed, who didn't, what actually happened. However, on the Jesus Trail, which is sort of designed to have you think about your inner feelings and process them and process what had happened on our trip, I was walking by myself one day, and I was thinking about all that. I was thinking about what was happening to us. And I just sort of started talking to God. I started with, "Hey, God," and I told him everything that was happening in my head. All the thoughts, all the feelings, all the things that I was scared to tell everyone else. And I cannot describe to you the relief that I felt. It just sort of felt like a weight was lifted off of my heart. It felt like someone, somewhere was listening. And the best part about it was that he wasn't answering. He wasn't giving me an answer. He was just there. It was a friend that I really needed. He was a friend, and he was with me. And so on the Jesus Trail, I started to develop this friendship with God that if you told me I would at the beginning, I wouldn't have believed you. And there's something special in that. So behold, I found Jesus on the Jesus Trail.
After traveling for so long in such an interesting region, we are left with more questions than answers. We will share just a few of them with you. Is peace achievable, let alone likely, in the Middle East in our lifetime?
What would a just peace look like in the Middle East after decades of constant conflict?
How can I travel the world without falling into patterns of shallow tourism?
What roles do pacifism and justice have in countries torn by religious violence, terrorism, and systematic oppression?
Can one person make a difference in a world with a population of 7.5 billion?
Should the U.S. have a role in the region still struggling with the aftermath of European colonialism?
Can I support justice for Palestinians while also supporting a homeland for Israel?
What is our role in the Syrian refugee crisis, in Syria more generally? Where is justice for Syrians?
Where is God when Palestinians serve jail terms for crimes they didn't commit?
Where is God when Israelis are killed by terrorist attacks?
How can I speak out against the military-industrial complex while living in a country that faces no threat to its home soil?
Where is Jesus more at home, in St. Peter's Basilica or with the beggars outside? Where should I be?
Can the Bible be as real in the Appalachians as it is on Mount Sinai and the Mount of Olives?
Part of our chapel is called Middle East 2017 by the numbers. Jeremy and I have compiled some statistics from the trip that we'd like to share with you. So first of all, we went to 8 countries.
Each of us took 1,361,139 steps, traveling 1,157 miles on foot. We also had 3,360 flights climbed.
We had a total of 9 border crossings from country to country involving a lot of security, and we came out with 1 free prostate exam given by Israel.
The total number of scarves purchased by our entire group was 176. And we also purchased a grand total of 54 soccer jerseys. The amount of items lost or broken, 61, totaling $4,235.
We were blessed to have a lot of tour guides along the way. 4 were really great, and 1 was a not so good.
We used 15 modes of transportation.
Caleb Schrockhurst wore his pants 86% of the trip.
We celebrated 15 birthdays and had 11 baptisms.
We reenacted 9 crucifixions at the Nazareth Village.
We grew 12.5 beards.
And last but not least, we had 2 of the most wonderful and best leaders you could ever ask for. The Apostle Paul, I mean Linford, and Janet Stussman, please come up.
After leading the Middle East cross-cultural for over a decade, Linford and Janet took our group as their last. I think everyone in our group would agree that there are few people with more wisdom and love. There are no words to fully express our gratitude for walking this journey with us and caring so deeply for our well-being, growth, and overall experience.
We also want to thank both of you for allowing us to take responsibility for ourselves. Linford, you were such an inspiring leader. Such an incredible trip for all of us. Janet, you really do resemble an olive tree, and you are such a mama bear. We love you. As a small token of our appreciation, we would like to give you guys this bouquet of flowers. Thank you for everything that you have done for us, and we just love you with all of our hearts.
never done this before, but I'm going to say something. At this case, this. I want to thank EMU as an institution for running this program. We've done it for 13 times. This is our last time together. It's been an amazingly wonderful blessing in our lives. And I want to thank this group for being just a tremendous way to finish this program. We could not have asked for a more rewarding, blessed experience. Thank you so much.
Well, Linford and Janet have taught us something really special, and I think I'll carry with me for the rest of my life, and that is that the journey is home. And so let's turn to number 2 in your green books. But instead of "the journey is long," let's sing "the journey is home," and let's sing the first verse like that twice together. Sure, you can stand. Let's stand.
Come walk with us, the journey is home. Come walk with us, the journey is home.
Everyone for coming out to chapel today. It means so much to us that we had like loved ones back here in the States who are willing to keep in contact with us and be praying for us and just know that we had open arms to come home to. Now that you guys have had a good verbal explanation of all the experiences and moments we've had on this trip and also some reenactments of it, I put together a quick GoPro video. This is a quick GoPro video to try to give you a visualization of what all we experienced and just all the adventures that we went on together. Thanks.
All right, that concludes our chapel. Thanks everybody for coming out.